Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. Welcome to You, Me, Them, everybody. Please put your hands together for our house band of the evening, the Blessed Lord Juggalo Nuts. Blessed Lord Juggalo Nuts, take it away. Play a song. That's an original, and I'm proud to be a part of it. Thank you, Blessed Lord Juggalo Nuts. They'll be here all night. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to You, Me, Them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Oh, it's a fun time. It's a fun time. What? Oh, we'll find out about my button very soon, ma'am. Oh, man. Speaking of buttons and flair, I don't have to attract the opposite sex anymore. It's the best. Anymore. I'm done with that shit. That's over. I'm about to get married, and I do not envy my single friends. I have this one single friend. She's extremely talented. She's a beautiful woman. She's a stand-up comic in Chicago. And earlier this week, she posted something on the Facebook that said, maybe I should stop dating people that rob my house that I meet at 4 a.m. at dive bars. And that's the true fact. Guys, PSA, you're not going to find love at 4 a.m. in a bar. Now, you can find love in a bar. There's a whole Rihanna song about finding love in a hopeless place. I get it. What's up, guys? We did it. We did it. Pop culture. That's why you recognize it. Okay, good. Yeah, I don't have to do that anymore. It's the best. One half of the Blessed Lord Juggalo Nuts, he's single. He's internet dating people all the time. I'll internet date you. What's going to happen next? Loneliness. It's just a series of loneliness. And that's cool because that's what he wants. And that's okay. It's that one right there. That one. The one that plays the other thing. And he's good. He's good. But I don't envy him. Here's how you know you're in love. Oh, I'm in love. Oh, I'm the best. I've been with my fiance for a very, very long time. 9.5 years. I know. That is how time works, ladies and gentlemen. It's beautiful. I love her so much, and she loves me, and it's great. Because last night I was at this wonderful establishment. I was at the Wonderland Ballroom for much, much too long. I had 6 cocktails in about 3 hours. It was a good time. I walked home. No, I don't throw up because I'm a man. It's a monologue. All right, here we go. I walk home. She goes, hey, you want to have another drink? Yes, because I love you. This is how relationships work. And we watched Top Chef together. Top Chef's the worst. I don't get to eat the food. I don't like Top Chef, but I watch it because I love her. And we have beautiful conversation. Top Chef's over. She's very, very tired. She's only had 3 drinks. I'm on drink 9 because I'm a champion. I decided to watch some internet videos. I watched the Jimmy Kimmel Live video thing. It was pretty funny. It was pretty good. I watched some Horatio Sands SNL classic bits. Pretty good. Pretty good. I liked when he was fatter. He was funny. Then I started watching Beavis and Butthead because I was 12 at one point. I watched Beavis and Butthead clips for another 30 minutes alone, drinking my 10th drink, enjoying life, enjoying future marriage. And then I find a clip of Beavis and Butthead watching Wilco. Ladies and gentlemen, Beavis and Butthead are fans of Wilco. Not a joke. There's 177 views on this video. It was reposted in November. I saw this when it aired. I thought I was having a fever dream. No, it's a fact. Beavis and Butthead enjoy the song Box Full of Letters by Wilco. If Beavis and Butthead could enjoy a Box Full of Letters by Wilco, anyone in theory can enjoy this. And that's why we do this talk show, ladies and gentlemen. We have a fantastic evening planned. I agree completely. We have way too many guests. We have Haywood Turnipseed Jr., Prince of Petworth, Dan Silverman, David Carter, Timmy Von Hausen. He's our new Facebook friend. Sarah Armour and Aaron Estes. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together again for the Blessed Lord Juggalo Nuts, everybody. Here we go. Blessed Lord Juggalo Nuts. Coming to the stage is a very funny man. He's going to be doing a brand new segment on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Haywood Turnipseed Jr. Here we go. Haywood, how are you?
I am good. Peace. How's everybody doing? All right. Big up, Juggalo Nuts.
Yeah.
It's been a minute, fellas. How y'all doing? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Big up. Big up. They juggle nuts.
Yeah, they juggle nuts. You wanted to do a brand new segment on the show.
A brand new segment called Color Commentary.
Now, why is it called Color Commentary?
I am commenting on the color scheme in D.C.
Okay. Now, for the listener at home, how would you describe your pigment?
Oh, I'm black.
You're black. Yeah. Okay, so
actually, I'm more mocha fudge if you're talking about pigment. If you're talking about pigment.
So you're a mocha fudge gentleman.
Yes.
And you have a lot. Don't laugh at that. Ben.
A mocha fudge latte.
You're no latte.
Without the steamed milk. Unless you want it like that.
You need a band. That's why you need a band.
I do.
So this is your new segment. It's Color Commentary. Do I comment at all, or do I just sit by and listen?
Of course you do. We're talking.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get to comment on the stuff that we say.
All right, here we go. First story, I guess, right?
First story. Well, here's the thing I've been noticing. D.C. used to be called Chocolate City.
Chocolate City because of all the people that were mocha-colored people.
All the black people that came
black
here.
Black people. Okay,
and they stayed people. After the I Have a Dream speech. They just didn't go back.
So that's how D.C. became known
that
as Chocolate.
That is how D.C. became so beautifully black.
I didn't know that. I thought it was... Yeah. Okay.
That and Parliament Funkadelic.
Parliament Funkadelic and the I Have a Dream speech is why D.C. is
built. Well, you figure you walked all the way here. There weren't no buses going back. So they was like, I guess we're just going to stay.
Okay, so there was a lack of buses, and that's how D.C. became so chocolate.
A lack of buses plus government jobs makes D.C. chocolate.
Well, that makes more sense. Okay, right. I'm with you. That's why D.C. was chocolate.
That's why D.C. was chocolate. Now it's more like a double-stuffed Oreo. It's still chocolate on the outside, but oh, the center is white.
So the Anacostia, pretty chocolate.
Well, funny that you say that. Anacostia was just voted by D.C. Curbed... DCCurb.com as one of the neighborhoods in the city that is on the rise. Meaning on the rise, you can purchase a home in Anacostia for $150,000 and resell it for $400,000.
Let's buy homes. We should buy
homes.
Well,
I own one, so thank you.
Congratulations.
Property value. Some people say gentrification. I say property value.
Good for you, buddy.
Well, you know, we used to be property value.
Can I make that comment or no? I can't.
Well, you could say it used to be valued property.
Okay. Oh, no. Wow. Slavery is hilarious when you talk about it.
Sometimes. So it's crazy. Anacostia is like one of the neighborhoods in the city that is on the rise. And right across the bridge from Anacostia, there's literally an ice rink.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that is the same place they used to sell cocaine. So they used to sell ice there, and now they actually skate on ice. And what's funny is the black people that used to sell the cocaine are now working at the ice rink. So gentrification also brings employment, but they're playing Welcome to the Jungle. Exactly. It wrote itself. I was like, are they literally playing Welcome to the Jungle? And you know, black folks know all about Guns N' Roses.
It got real sad real fast.
No, not really.
Okay, now you got another one?
I got another story. Because we're commenting on the color, right?
So
you have this neighborhood, like Pentworth.
Yes.
The neighborhood that we're in now. I was just, 2 days ago, I was at a place called The House.
The House in Pentworth.
Yeah, it used to be The Penthouse.
Okay.
Strip club. That brother knows it. He's part of the big up. It's a great place. Back when I used to go back in the year 2000, it was very sticky, very crack infested. You might get beat up on the way out.
When you say sticky in reference to a house of ill repute, do you mean...
Well, my friend threw up on the floor. That's why I was sticky.
Okay,
that's
why I was sticky. Not from ejaculate.
Well, that too.
Ejaculate and vomit.
And ain't nothing worse than a crackhead's ejaculate.
That's a good tweet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
See, now you're at the house.
So we're at the house, and I'm literally watching all of these young urbanites, and those are what young white kids are called to me, young urbanites.
Am I a young urbanite?
Yeah, you're from the city. You live in the city, but you're from Chicago.
I'm from Chicago.
So it's a little different. The urbanites are the ones that come from the suburbs into the city for all the benefits like trains.
Trains are good.
Girls.
Girls are good. The TV show Girls. You get free DVDs of Girls in the city.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I like the show.
I've never seen it.
It's okay.
I don't understand the hatred.
It's all about girls.
So?
A lot of people hate girls.
Do you like the band She and Him?
I do. I know them.
Good.
I do. Yeah, they're
all
good.
Right.
You're testing my white now. You see that? You see how you're testing my white knowledge?
I'm not testing.
That is ridiculous. Do you see that, SM?
I'm not testing.
Why would he do that to me? My last name is Turnipseed. I just saw Django. Oh, you don't have to test my white
knowledge. Let's talk about Django.
Django is my favorite movie ever of all time. And it's my Star Wars.
Now, I only saw the first 90 minutes. And
that's
I
all
it
you
was
need
a
to see.
Pretty
that's,
great film.
That's all you need to see. For the next 90 minutes, guess what? More white folks die. Awesome.
Now.
Awesome. And I don't like it because the white folks die. I just like it because there's more than two black folks in the movie and ain't none of them wearing dresses. Speaking of property value, last story that I wanted to talk
about
is RG3.
Yes.
Now, RG3, the Redskins quarterback, great season.
Yeah, amazing season.
Great season, but it was at the cost of his busted knee.
Yes.
He literally had it, his knee was busted beforehand. So literally, you're putting out a $1 million quarterback. They paid something like, I don't know, $40 million for this guy. $40 million. So it's literally like driving a Ferrari on the Autobahn, but with a donut on it. It was ridiculous. I mean, the Nationals put out Steven Strasburg. They took him out. And everybody was pissed off because of the big playoff run.
Yeah.
But what did the Redskins do? And I hate that name. I really do.
The Redskins?
Talk about property value.
Listen, look at my pin.
Chicago Blackhawks.
That's
same
right.
difference.
I love tribes. They're the best. All of my favorite teams
I love a
are tribe
tribes. Called Quest.
No, I don't like them. They're not a sports team. I like the Cleveland Indians, the Washington Redskins, and the Chicago Blackhawks.
Cleveland Indians are okay. Well, see, you know what else is funny? Because they weren't.
And Atlanta Braves. I love
they
the
weren't
Atlanta
even
Braves.
Indians. But Redskins are the ones I'm talking about right now. Atlanta Braves, it's a bunch of them. Chicago Blackhawks is a bunch of them.
Yeah.
What if there were a team? What if there were actually a team called the Chicago Djangos?
Hockey team?
No.
That'd be, if there
of
was
course,
a
it would
team?
Be basketball. Of course, it would be basketball.
They'd be okay. They're in Chicago. It's a major market. They're not going to let them suck.
You know how football came about? We all have to thank the Emancipation Proclamation.
Thank you, Matt. I never have thanked the Emancipation Proclamation before, so it's nice that you finally given me a forum to thank them.
Because
on the talk
it was show. It was a lot like DC. It was a lot like how black folks came here, like how we started in the beginning. Black folks moved here. They didn't leave after the I Have a Dream speech. They also didn't leave after Emancipation Proclamation. And you know why? Because all of those good white people said, guess what? We now have basketballs and footballs for you.
How is it a good story?
It's not.
Oh.
It's sad. So but guess what? We also have ice rinks. Where they play Welcome to the Jungle, that I call nice rinks.
Aw, do you want to go ice skating with me? Do you know ice
actually, skate? I went a weekend ago, me and my kids, which is crazy. Like, you got me out there ice skating with my kids. Why? Because I want to give my sons culture.
That's great.
So I'm thankful to all the good white people. Because all we've had were liquor stores and crack. And that's really true. Like, the place on the corner, like, I cannot take my kids there. But now, thanks to all you good white people who have moved into the city, please keep coming. Don't stop here. Come all the way to Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue because, like I said, I would like my home that I purchased for X amount of dollars to one day be at least $1 million.
That's a good, fair statement.
I would.
I think you're helping property values.
Actually, thank you. Hey, you know what? For the price of being named Turnip Seed, I'll take it.
Now, my last name is Weatherby.
Weatherby.
It sounds like my ancestors might have had something to do with all that bad stuff.
No. Weatherby is actually, it is an English name.
It's an English name. To be fair, I know that, like, my family or whatever came here in the 40s. So we're just a bunch of people that were literally late on the boat.
Actually, the real white people who had shit to do with that?
Yeah.
I don't know them. Well, we know who they were. Like,
let's, why don't you and
you
me?
You ever seen The Men Who Built America on A&E?
No.
Watch it.
Okay.
That's who it was.
We should do shows in, like, Richmond and just see how it goes.
I did a show in Richmond.
Let's
go
to the capital of the South, and we'll just talk about Django.
Let's go all the way to Atlanta.
I want to go to Freaknik. You want to go to Freaknik?
It'll be back. With me and you there, it'll be freaky.
Yeah. All right, so thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, man. Yeah.
You did a set on Monday night at the Looking Glass, and it was absolutely fantastic. You're getting better and better, and people could see you every single Wednesday night.
Every single Wednesday night.
At the Blue Banana, which sounds like a really cool gay bar, but it's actually a shitty sports bar. Yeah, it's just a shitty sports bar.
But hey, I like gay people.
Yeah, I know.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I have friends.
I got it. So you'll be there every single Wednesday night.
Yes.
People could check you out online.
Yes.
Where?
You can check me out. You can follow me on Twitter at Woody Seed. You can also check me out on Facebook, Heywood Turnip Seed Jr. You can check me on YTME podcast all the time. The Christmas special.
You were amazing on that.
We just downloaded
it. So
that was really cool. And I will be having a website soon. I just got to go buy my name.
That sounds weird.
I got to buy my name. How crazy is that? I have to buy myself.
Honestly, do you want to know the most recent website I bought? Completely serious.
Really?
Completely serious. I am the owner, the proud owner of 420-911-6969.com.
That is great.
I haven't used it yet. And thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it. That, I own that. I'm trying to figure out what to put on that website.
He owns like that, like he owns my voice on this show. Shit ain't changed.
Yeah. So thank you for letting me own you. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Heywood Turnip Seed
Good night.
Jr. Good old-fashioned blues, says it's racist. Coming to the stage is a guy that has a lot of opinions, and you probably read his website. He's an extremely popular man around town. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the Prince of Petworth, Mr. Dan Silverman. Gentlemen, play him out. Dan, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
You did the show when we first started in D.C. in 2010, and I knew nothing about the city.
That was the first show ever, right?
It was one of the first ones, yeah. So thanks for doing it.
I've been telling everybody it was the first one ever.
It was the first in D.C.?
That's what I meant. That's
yeah,
what I meant.
Yeah, it was the first in D.C. Okay, in that time, your site has gotten bigger and more read, and are you happy?
Yes.
How old are you?
38.
Do you still care about D.C.?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's gotten a lot better.
Has it?
It's gotten, you know, the funny thing is, when you're in the thick of it all, it's sometimes hard to appreciate. Is the city better? Is it not better? When everybody emails you, my buddy just got a brick in the back of his head and this, that, and the other. Which is why I put up a question today saying, you know, do you feel safer today than you did 5 years ago? And if you take a step back, you see that it's a hell of a lot better.
Is it?
It really is.
Okay. I see people on the bus when I come home. I work for Huffington Post. I don't know if you knew that. I work for the DC Vertical. And we're essentially competitors. But yes. I'm pretty sure you're way more well-read than we are.
Well, I don't look at it as competing.
Well,
I mean, I just do what I do, and everybody else does what they do.
Well, why do you do what you do? Like, do you really care about restaurant openings?
Yes.
Why?
I fucking love restaurant opening. I love anything. That's the funniest thing. It's like just yesterday, actually, walking down 19th Street.
Yeah.
There's a store called Unique Boutique.
Yes.
And you can tell I'm a very well-dressed young man.
For the listener at home, you're wearing work boots. You're wearing a flannel shirt that's obviously vintage.
That's
new?
2004.
That counts as vintage.
Oh, sorry, 2004.
You're wearing jeans that are jeans, and you're wearing a trucker hat like Ashton Kutcher wore 10 years
ago.
This
is a DC brow hat.
You're
though.
Repping the locals.
DC represent.
Yes.
And now, I like Tribe Called Quest for the record.
Oh, I hate them. They're the worst. I can
rap Tribe Called Quest right now. If need be, if we run out of things to talk about.
I don't like music. Don't worry about it. So why do restaurant openings excite you? You just said
oh,
you,
so I was saying that this store, Unique Boutique, where I've never been into in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking down the street, and I see a sign that says, Unique Boutique is closing. And I get all excited. I can't explain it. I'm like, holy shit. This is a prime location. Unique Boutique is closing. I wonder what's going to go in here. So I genuinely care about the comings and goings, not necessarily for Unique Boutique and the houndstooth hats that they're so known for.
You're not a fan of houndstooth hats?
I may have made that up, but you can't tell. The potential of a new restaurant is exciting to me.
Okay.
Whether or not I like that particular restaurant, the fact that something new is coming in, it's exciting because... So when I moved to D.C., there was not a lot of new restaurants at all. So it's just very exciting every time there's something new coming in.
Well, since you are involved in like every aspect of neighborhoods and stuff like that, what do you see is lacking? Obviously, businesses are taking off more and more restaurants, but like, what's the one thing that you wish there was something? What's the one thing that you could make this more like New York, less like New York? Give me something here.
That's a dangerous thing to say.
Why?
And here is what would make us more like New York, less like New York.
I think that's a double-edged sword. I think a lot of people want it to be more like New York, a little bit more exciting, a little bit more affordable, some might say.
But as somebody who comes from New York, I'll tell you what I care about doesn't have to deal with New York. What I would like to see is some more affordable options of, like, what are some fun things to do besides going to a restaurant and going to a bar? And a lot of the new restaurants are super expensive. So maybe some good, more moderately priced restaurants.
But how does that happen? Is that even a possibility?
It's a possibility if the city expands the way it continues to expand.
What do you mean?
In other words, in Columbia Heights,
yes,
it's very unlikely to see a good $2 taco place open up because the retail rent is so expensive.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to recognize that, if you're willing to recognize that the city, as we originally said, is getting better all over, that you might not think about, a little bit further out, north of 8th Street, Hill East, you know, east of Barracks Row, these places where people, you know, 15, 10 years ago would never would have thought about going.
Yeah.
Now the rent is good enough that you can put someplace in there, but you still have enough foot traffic and people living around there that you could support these businesses going in.
What's the one neighborhood that you're most excited to see blossom in this way?
Right now, it's funny. My answer will probably change week to week.
Obviously, yeah.
But right now, I'm most excited about Tacoma, D.C.
Tacoma,
D.C. No.
Just Tacoma.
Tacoma Park is Maryland.
So just Tacoma.
Tacoma, D.C.
What's going on in Tacoma that's so exciting?
Tacoma is like, it has part of Tacoma Park.
Okay.
Part of the feel of Tacoma Park, which is a sort of, back in the day, Mount Pleasant, a little bit crunchy, a little bit cool housing stock, very nice people, a little Berkeley vibe going on. But Tacoma has the metro right there. Mm-hmm. It has a great housing stock, but there's new developments going in. It's got this awesome home store called Trove. A Busboys and Poets is going in. A new restaurant by Jeff Black is going in. He's the guy who does Pearl Dive and Blackjack.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of these places that's on the cusp.
Okay.
And I mark my words, this is recorded.
So if you're going to buy something somewhere, you'd say
if
Tacoma.
If you're going to buy something, I would say Tacoma, Brooklyn, and I'll do four. Hill East, way Hill East, okay, by Potomac Avenue Metro, and Trinidad up north of 8th Street, Northeast.
Okay. Are you still in Petworth?
I'm still in Petworth.
You going to move?
Actually, 10 years.
Wow, next congratulations,
month.
Man.
Next it's month, 10 years.
It's changed quite a bit.
It's changed an awful lot.
I like that we're clapping for someone holding an address for 10 years. Like, he did it, guys. It's amazing. Will you move?
I would never rule out anything.
Uh-huh.
I just redid my kitchen. So,
No.
So I bought 5 years more in Petworth. But never say never. I mean, who knows?
Final question. What's the one thing that locals overlook in D.C. proper?
Well, I think D.C., the problem with people overlooking things in D.C. is that they get very attached to where they live, almost in like a New York way, where they say, you know, I live in the Lower East Side. You know, everything in the fucking world that I want to do is in the Lower East Side. So you get people that live in a neighborhood like Bloomingdale or Columbia Heights or whatever, and they say, I love Columbia Heights. It's the best neighborhood in the whole city, and we have Wonderland, and we have all these things to do. And what I would encourage people is that, yes, I agree with you. Your neighborhood is awesome. But there are a lot of other awesome neighborhoods out there, and you're doing yourself a disservice to restrict yourself. And the reason why I can say this so adamantly is because I did this.
Yeah.
I was 100% this person in many different degrees. When I first moved here, I only went out in Adams Morgan. That was it.
Well, let's be honest, Adams Morgan, you got Madams Morgan.
It was.
You got Chief Ikes. You got Trist. Just
not
nonstop.
When I moved. Trist wasn't there when
you got
I moved.
That bookstore.
Idle Times.
You got Smash. Why leave? Yes. I'll buy a record and then a biscotti and then just drink at Madam's Organ until Chief Ike's is the only place open. It's
exactly.
Going to be cool.
And pizza.
And oh, jumbo. I love jumbo slice. I love coming to DC and get a classic jumbo slice, everybody.
$2.
They're the worst. Okay.
Was.
Thanks so much for doing this, man. I have one
Thanks
final question.
Back.
This is from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Second final question.
This is the worst book in the world. I need you to pick a number between 27 and 28.
Say that again?
Pick a number between 27 and 28.
27.
Perfect. You did it. If as a result of an injury or illness, you can never again have intercourse, do you think your lover would adjust to the change or eventually leave you because of it? How would you adjust to it?
I think I would be probably jumping off an airplane and saying...
So what you're saying
is... It's
over,
so I might as well go out in a fun way.
So what you're saying is your penis is extremely important to you.
Yes.
That's a fair question. People could find you, Prince of Petworth, like you needed the fucking plugs, but you have a, you have like 20,000 Twitter followers. I checked today.
You can find me around the streets, and I'll always have a hat on and a camera around my neck. And so you can come up to me and say, I fucking hate you.
Do you get a lot of that?
Not in person. I'm waiting
nice.
For it in person.
Well, I promise you that if it happens, I'll try to be part of it, okay?
Thank you. I look forward to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Prince of Petworth, Dan Silver, everybody. All right, play him up, gentlemen. I'm actually kind of glad that the room is like this tonight because I want to see what our next comedian does. He's very funny. He's acerbic. He does not look like a comic because he obviously does not have trouble meeting people because he's attractive. You're an attractive man. He knows it. It makes it weird for everybody else. Are you ready to play him on? Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, put your name, put your hands. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for David Carter, everybody. Yeah!
Give it up for the band, huh? I'm glad you guys are gonna be here all night. You're the house band. We can Jay Leno it the whole time, except you're not black and I'm funny. Let's get this show started. Hey, 12 Top, you realize this is work, right? This is us working. This is us working. Hi, direct address, breaking the fourth wall. Good evening, 12 Top. We're working right now. It's free entertainment. It's great. I don't come to your data entry and dying slowly and piss in your TPS reports. Can you all please pay attention? The back half of the table is the cast of Homeland. The front half of the table are the only white people that watch it. Can you please focus? We're going to tell some dick jokes here. Thank you very much for supporting live comedy, ironically. Oh, I'm going to treat you like your dad. You know, drink in front of you and not talk. That actually wasn't that bad of an intro. The worst intro I ever got is when I did a fundraiser show for Planned Parenthood. I didn't get paid, but I did get gift cards, so mammograms on me, ladies. But I was brought up by the lady who works there, and she opened the show by telling horrible tales of what kids really believe about sex during the sex education. And one of them came up to her and said, hey, if I don't have a condom, I can use a latex glove, right? Wait, what? Yeah, you just pick whatever finger you want, you tuck the rest up, then you just use that. Which allowed me to immediately run on stage and go, stop mocking me and my five dicks, I want my glove back. It was perfect. Hey, white girls, they won't shut up. It's okay, it's a joke. I don't have five dicks. But I do have four friends that owe me a favor. Call me. Oh, the next fun fact. Apparently, this kid said, hey, my mom told me whatever parent is more active during lovemaking, that defines the gender of the child. Clearly, this boy never met my dad. He was the laziest son of a bitch that ever lived. There was no way he was active in my procreation. There's no way. He probably just lied there and took it and just cried himself to sleep. Which is a spot-on impression of the Redskins defense, his favorite team. Go sports! Oh, I love it. But thank you for most of you coming out and supporting live comedy. It does mean a lot. You know, a group of people excited and supportive of live comedy. You're like my anti-parents. Except all the women should be wearing mustaches, right? Anti. And all the guys should be alive. We're halfway there. Because the city's full of hipsters, some of you women have mustaches. Apparently, that's how it works. The female form wears mustaches, and the male form of a hipster is a guy you think you hate wearing a shirt you know you do. How loosely defined is that term? I think my generation should apologize for creating hipsters. We really should. I had no idea our jaded sarcasm was going to catch on like a wildfire and create vermin. I'm sorry. We thought it was going to be a passing fad, you know? Like pogs. Bell bottoms. The middle class. We're sorry. I almost got in an accident because one of these people. I was staring at his thin frames without lenses and his thin bike without brakes. I hope you go outside of the crosswalk and get nipped by a car. I almost got an accident. I was staring at him and I ran a red light. Luckily, there was no accident, but because this place was so hipster, I did get ticketed. The traffic camera posted an Instagram picture of me on Facebook. Like, that's how I knew. It wasn't even a picture of me. It was a bicycle in an old doorframe. What the fuck does that mean? That's $75? Fucking hate you, Adams Morgan. Ugh. Hipsters. It's just the most annoying thing to me. I'm going to start reposting sonograms on Instagram just so I can be annoying twice. A lot of my friends are participating in this birther movement. You heard about it? They have things, like small versions of themselves pop out, and they're proud about it. Why? Why? It doesn't make... I don't understand. First of all, new dads and new moms, your sonograms mean nothing to me. That looks like an endoscopy. For all I know, you ate your baby. None of us are doctors. Stop telling me you're a cannibal and silent. God, Ron Paul, when he was running for vice president, said he saw a sonogram and his wife nicknamed their little kid a bean. Because it looked like a bean. So what? I had a bean inside me once, but I didn't nickname my turd Chipotle than run for vice president. You're annoying. Stop toying with my heart. God, I don't like kids. I don't get them. Childhood diabetes is a lot like dodgeball. They both take out the fat kids. I dressed up for an audio podcast. You're welcome. And they're having kids, and their reaction is, let's get married. Quick, make it worse. Why? Why? Getting married in your 20s is like being mayor on Foursquare. Congratulations, but you know it's a passing fad. There's no reason to. There's no reason to. But it's because you want to find love, right? Who here is afraid of dying alone? Right? Huh? So you've tried online dating. Good. This next joke... My friend tried online dating. You deserve a shortcut in the roller coaster that is love. Rent a wheelchair, pretend you're handicapped, and go up through the exit. Fuck you. You hunt and be lonely like the rest of us. It's called love for a reason. You're not supposed to find it on the internet. You're supposed to find STDs on the internet. And coffee tables. My friend tried online dating and she got what was coming to her. On her very first date, in the first hour. First of all, you don't do it to find love. You do it because you know you're full of emotional baggage and psychological scars. But instead of fixing yourself, you rather push a button and tell a robot to find someone who's cool with it. So... She tried it on her very first date. The guy, was a real person, eyes, arms, social security number, looked at her and said, "We can't stay out too late tonight because I have a meeting." Stop. Meetings should not take place at night. That's a red flag. Are you an improv troupe or the president? No. This is why we find Satanists so creepy. They meet at night. If they met over brunch, no one would be weirded out by them. "Hey guys, welcome to Panera. I snuck in mimosas. Hail Satan. Kill the small animals. Squirrel, squirrel." Yeah, you'd pay to see that lunch. But he said, "I can't stay out too late because I have a coven meeting." What the fuck is a coven meeting? Oh, a coven meeting. I'm an amateur vampire. Did you mean coven? Did you mean coven, you son of a bitch? This is the kind of person I am. I was more upset that he mispronounced a two-syllable word than I was by him throwing his life away by being a vampire. Grammar and punctuation upset me more than context. You ever been in a fight with someone online? "No, David, you're wrong. Hitler had some great ideas." This is 2013. Where the fuck is your apostrophe? That's me. I'm a grammar Nazi. Keep up with the wordplay. It's going to happen. And he's an amateur vampire. You know what that means? There's professional vampires. There's leagues, levels, licensing. You can get better at throwing your life away. You can hire these assholes for parties. "Hey. Hey, Billy. Happy third birthday. I know you wanted clowns, but your mother and I have always despised you. Get in there. Scare him. You scare him? You scare him. Why'd I fuck in high school?" And I asked her, "Why do you do this to yourself?" And she said, "It's because I suffer from cynophobia." Show of hands. Who knows Latin and recognizes the word cynophobia? Huh? You're all going to die in your office chair. Who knows what cynophobia is? Oh, I asked her. "Well, it's cynophobia. It's the fear of Asian people." "What do you mean, fear of Asian people?" "No, fear of Asian people, like their look, their faith, their religion, their culture. I was at Busch Gardens. I saw a family of Asian people, cried, got scared, and hid behind my parents. Cynophobia." "Did you mean racism?" "Yeah, no, racism. I totally know what racism is." "No, David, it's a fear." "No, that's fucking racism. Just because you haven't leveled up your hate skills enough to really call it racism, I'm not going to feel bad for you. Because you haven't enough racist side quests to really make it happen. Hey, David, what are you doing on Friday?" "Nothing. What do you have planned?" "I'm going to go to all the walk and roll in Chinese buffets and putting missing cat pictures out front. You want to come with me?" "No. Have you tried online dating?" "I just don't know. It's fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to the dark side of WebMD as you try to rationalize your prejudice. I just don't get it, Internet. I have cold sweats during Bruce Lee marathons." "I'm going to put her on a date with an Asian vampire and just watch her cry. He's going to suck my blood." "Yes, but for which reason?" Leave you with this. I moved up here about a year ago from Virginia Beach, and it's too white. I don't like that place. It's like everybody at that table I hate. It feels like... I don't. I like you... You've been paying attention. I bet they're not your friends. I'm sorry, some guy knows some guy that knows them, and now you have to sit near it. Just hang out with me after the show. Can someone explain Chinatown to me? It's not Sean. Now you listen. Now you fucking listen. You know how it's kind of rude to talk on your phone during a date? Imagine you're on a date right now. You're paying for your own meal. No, I don't. I like college-educated people. Can someone explain Chinatown to me? Do you know it's so expensive to live there? No Chinese people actually do. Sure, Chinese people work there, so you call it Chinatown. What's next, the White House? I don't understand it. Did a bunch of Asian people live there one day, and then you called it Chinatown? Or did you call it Chinatown, the bunch of Asian people started migrating there? Like, which came first, the chicken or the subtle racism? I can't figure it out. And let's note, it's 2012. That's the only group of people you can still do that to. Asians. Yeah, it's a bunch of Asian guys. Throw down some dragons and a border. Let them know. I'm not afraid. Whee! No, you can't do that to anyone else and still be PC. If a large group of Filipino people live together, you can't call it Flipadelphia. No. You have to call it the Navy. If a large group of black people live together, you can't call it Blackstone. You have to call it Columbia Heights. If a large group of white people live together, you can't call it Whitefield. You have to call it Congress. There are rules to all of this. Or that table. I hope you all get in a car accident. But make it out alive so it scares you. Thank you very much for coming out.
David Carr, everybody, take a seat, buddy. Take a seat. Thank you. Good drumming. Thank you. Thank you for saying the things that I don't get to say because I'm the host.
You're the host. You're nuts.
So okay. Thank you for doing that.
And I apparently don't respect repeat business, so thank you for having me on your show. The
anytime,
one and probably
actually.
Only time.
No. That was really good. There was a guy that we had here last year, and his name is Matty. Pretty great. Well, your set was good. But he... Here's the difference. You started with a lot of problems. Like, you had a lot to overcome, right? And he had a perfectly attentive, packed room, and everyone was on board. And he got them louder and more rambunctious. And he was so good, we had to cut it out of the podcast forever because there was almost a race riot. So, you were good, but not great.
Well, great equals race riot, so I don't want to be great.
Don't you, though?
I don't want to. Because here's the thing. Anytime I'm on...
I didn't say which side of the race ride he was on.
Oh, go. Neither did I.
He was on the white side, so he was on the wrong one.
I assume. No, he's on the losing side. I would say that I have... Now, you know, don't take me wrong. I have a black friend. And I know in this room it sounds like I'm bragging, but... I would have to say that I've recognized how alabaster sheen I've been my entire life, and I don't appreciate it, that I'm afraid of the sun, but it's also, anytime I'm on the metro and it's, you know, it's wonderfully diverse. I moved away from Virginia Beach because everyone looked like me, and I'm probably going to not talk to them after the show because we might be related, but it's, anytime I'm on there, whatever the kind of most powerful, immediate, objective, superficial presence of every race is on... We always make eye contact too much. I don't know what it is. Like, every time we're just sitting there being humans, and I look up, and just, like, the most Indian man is right there staring at me. The most black guy is there staring at me. Just, like, color, shade, no reason to ever know each other. And I feel like we all have the same kind of idea of, like, fuck, if something breaks out, we're going to have to be the spokesperson.
I didn't even ask a question.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm tense. Go ahead.
Don't talk loud right now. The people at home can hear you.
I know.
The people paying attention. Is there anything you want to say specifically about specific individuals? This is sometimes my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
This is great. Because I can't say these things. I come back here.
But
there's some people that you might want to say specific, like maybe identify them for the listener at home.
Well, I do want to thank the two people at that 12 times.
They're pretty great.
Who've
actually
been paying attention.
Here's the problem with doing this, though. Like, once we start getting quiet, everything else. So, like, maybe play some drums for, like, 2 seconds so he can say what's on his mind.
Fuck all these bad ones. I'm going to ship it all them, so they're really nice, and I hope that success comes to them in all forms.
You're funny. Sorry I didn't book you sooner. It's only because I got a lot white males on the show.
I know.
It gets boring. It's not a joke. It sucks because like I wanted you and David Twitty like the first two times I saw you guys because you came to that horrible open mic I used to host. And I'm not saying like, oh, I was a bad host. It was an open mic. Hence, it was horrible. No, that's true, though. The open mics are the worst. There's like five funny people in the city and they're all at that table and you. So we're good. So, yeah, I'm sorry that it took so long for you to come on the show. Anytime, you're absolutely fantastic. And you get to say all the horrible things that I want to say. So thank you for doing it. Really quick question. Do you hate Anthony Jeselnik or do you love Anthony Jeselnik?
I love him. People say that they ask me if I that just based on how I look. But I love joke writers.
Okay. And you do really similar stuff. But he looks more like Frankenstein's monster than you. But you look very similar. He's got brown hair. You have blonde hair. Same idea, but his forehead's a little bit bigger for no reason. And he's got a weird nose. But other than that, like you could totally get a job doing that stuff. Could I give you one quick tip of advice?
Absolutely. What do you got?
Your Twitter photo is you in front of the Daily Show like sign.
Yes.
Do you write for the Daily Show?
No. No.
So you just look like a crazy Uber fan.
I'm a fan.
And you want to work in comedy, right?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
So you know you look nuts, right?
I'm okay with that.
Well, don't do that. Just show a picture. I will trade it. That's funnier.
You got it. It's going to be me holding a cat. Can I borrow someone's cat?
Yeah, that's fine, actually. That's not the worst idea.
That's not bad.
No, you're really funny, but that photo makes you just look... Oh, God. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Yeah. Fucking grow up, all right? No, you're absolutely great. You got any shows you want to plug?
Yeah. I host a room every Sunday. Show
is it an
starts
open
at 8:30. It is now. There might there might be an evolution of it. I got to find out this Sunday. But right now, every Sunday at Penn Social, right off Chinatown.
Hey. Listen, for the listener at home, Penn Social used to be a comedy club called Riot Act. Now, if you wanna rise up the ranks in comedy, here's what you gotta do. You gotta host an open mic at the former comedy club on Sunday nights, because that says to me, hey, this guy's on the pulse from a year and a half ago. This is gonna be good.
When all good signs of life have left a city, that's when you go inside of it and start advertising again. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
it. No, that's not right. That's stupid. That was the dumbest thing you said all night. So you're plugging an open mic you host.
It's turning into a showcase, and downstairs there's still a venue for a real show and a real
concert. The remains of a hotel.
Right now it's a drunk Chuck E. Cheese, and I have friends who work there, so I hope it...
No, I have nothing against the people that work there.
Of course.
I have everything against the people who thought this was a good idea.
I like it because it's set up... It has all the settings for a show. You got lights, sounds, a stage, a mic, and...
So does a high school auditorium.
Which brings me to my next plug. I am going to be starting an open mic at your local high school.
They got zero left.
Yeah.
You want to end on something funny?
Yeah.
Say it. I got three more segments, man. Come on.
No, I'm done.
All right, cool. You're absolutely good. People can follow you on Twitter at...
_DavidCarter_ Meet me by
the
bar.
Oh, that's the worst. I'll link to it. Thank you so much. Put your hands together for David Carter. That's adults. We're adults. We don't do that. We're adults. Coming to the stage is a new friend of the show. We have an open Facebook policy on the show. Whenever somebody writes me on Facebook and they say, hey, I want to come on the show, I have something to say, they're on the show. So ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for our new Facebook friend, Timmy Von Hausen, everybody. Timmy, why don't you come up here and say a few words? Timmy, don't play him out. He's good. He doesn't deserve an intro because he's a new friend. New friend, everybody. Timmy, take a seat, Timmy. Timmy, how are you doing?
Hi, Brandon.
Timmy, where are you from? You have a very interesting accent.
I'm from the same place that you are from, Brandon.
You're from Chicago? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, Timmy, yes. Is that why you wrote me? Hey, I'm a Chicago guy.
Well, Brandon.
Timmy.
If you could tell me one of your high school girlfriend's names, who would you say?
Well, I dated this girl in high school. It was a very, very short time. Her name was Cassandra.
Cassandra Van Housen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. How do you know about her?
Well, she is my mother. I came from her vag.
Wait, Timmy. For the listener at home, I'm looking at you in the face right now.
Yes.
You look kind of old to be Cassandra's child.
I'm 11 years old, motherfucker.
Wait.
I grew up in the streets of Chicago.
You grew up in the streets of Chicago, and you're 11 years old, and I dated Cassandra Van Housen.
And she's my mother.
And she's your mom.
And you are my father.
Timmy, I don't know if that's true, Timmy.
My first words out of my mouth were, "Hello, welcome to you, me, them, everybody."
When did you begin to speak? How old were you?
When I was 1 year old. That's the first words that I say.
The show's not that old. The show's been going for 4.5 years.
Well, it was in my blood. People say, "Hey, you have the same eyes as your father. You have the same hands as your father. You do a kiss like your father."
So you're kissing all of my exes around Chicago?
No, but my mother and I do a kiss, and she says, "Oh, that reminds me of your father." I have some terrible news, Brandon, about Cassandra.
Your mom, my ex-girlfriend,
my
Cassandra.
My wife.
Wait, is she your mom?
My mother, Cassandra.
Your mom.
Well, I say my wife because I saw this documentary, Borat. It's great.
It's a good movie.
It's so funny. My wife, you know, it's so funny. Anyway, so my mother, she was in a terrible accident.
Oh, no. Is she okay?
She was in a blowjob accident.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. Stop, Timmy. You might be getting the words wrong. Do you know what a blowjob is?
A blowjob. Someone gave her the what he called it, the killer. He called it the Darwin.
The Darwin?
He put his flaccid dick in my mother's mouth, and it evolved.
Oh, I guess you do know what blowjob. Okay, so
and
so
it killed
Cassandra,
her, and she asphyxiated. She's dead, and now I'm an orphan boy. I'm a poor orphan boy.
You're a poor orphan boy.
And I go on a Facebook, and I find you. And I find you, and I say, "Dad, let me on your podcast. You know, let me in on some of that money from the podcast."
Okay, Timmy, you said you're 11. Is that correct?
Where did you go to high school?
Fenwick.
Oh, my God. I
know. Okay. Wait, okay. Now, do you know what I did in high school?
Yes, you were in a club.
I was in. That's true. I was in a club. Do
yes.
you know what club I was in?
You.
Blackfriars. I was in Blackfriars.
Yeah, my mother told me all about it. She showed me all of your book and all of the different thing.
I did a lot of stuff. I was also the newspaper editor.
The newspaper. Yeah.
Do you know the name of the newspaper?
The name of the newspaper is
The Week. The Week, yes. So,
of course, that was. I was born on top of that newspaper. All of the fluids coming out dripped onto the newspaper. Your beautiful words were soaked with my birth juice.
Timmy, I feel really bad with that Cassandra died in that horrible blowjob accident.
It's a terrible. She was waiting for you. For the last 10 years.
Waiting for?
She was waiting with you for you with the legs open, vagina waiting for you to come back into her.
That you're an 11-year-old boy.
I'm 11 years.
You're 11 years
11
old,
year
right?
Old boy.
I dated her when I was 17. Yeah. I'm 30 now.
30 now.
So that's, you're 2 years too young to be my son. Timmy, I don't think I'm your father. We sound nothing alike. We look nothing alike. you have a weird, random country accent that is obviously not Chicago. I don't think I'm your father, Timmy. I'm really sorry. Also, you look 25.
I'm your son.
I'm really sorry, Timmy. I'm not your dad.
But I have no place to go. I'm an orphan. Will you turn me away?
Timmy, I don't think you're age appropriate to be an orphan. You're an adult.
All right, let's cut the crap, right, Brandon. Let's cut the crap. I washed up on the beaches of France. I know all this martial arts. I don't know how I know this martial arts. I am a master of different languages.
You've only spoken English. You've just used a horrible accent.
No, that was one of my accents. That was my Chicago child accent. I was expertly done.
Kids do sound different in Chicago.
So I hacked into some mainframes. And I found out that I Jason Bourne'd.
You Jason Bourne?
I Jason Bourne'd.
What's your real name?
I don't know my real name.
Oh, wow, that's scary.
I thought you might be my father.
Nah, I'm not. I'm just some guy.
But I'm like, here, I'm this guy. I know all this martial arts.
And
I don't know what to do. I'm just going to beat people up until I find my real parents.
I think it's a great idea.
Is that a good idea?
Timmy, can I call you Timmy?
Yeah, you know, I thought you were in on this podcasting thing, probably pulling in 100K, 150K.
Oh, no. That's not how it works.
But it's, you know, it's the internet. The internet's the future. You know, you're pulling in.
Yeah.
This is technology, Wi-Fi, bandwidth. You know, you're doing a good thing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, so I'm not your. I'm not your son.
No, we're not related, man. I'm sorry.
No, I'm a Jason Bourne.
You're Jason Bourne.
Well, Jason Bourne here.
Thanks for Jason Bourne.
Thank you. Yeah,
and
yeah.
People could find you online.
People can find me online at A Dumb Friedland.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for not Timmy Van Housen, everybody. Right, here we go. Yeah, we're doing it live.
Yay!
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Sarah Armour. Say hello, Sarah. Sarah's going to give some advice. She's a local comic.
Hey.
Did you get your hair done?
No, this is how it dries. When it's straight is when I do it.
Why would you straighten it?
Because I don't want everyone to know how Jewish I am.
You should stop talking and going outside then. You look... Your hair looks beautiful tonight.
Thank you. I thought you
got it all done up and shit.
No, I have to tell you that the reason that I don't wear it curly more often is because, like, when I have a good curly hair day, it's really good.
Like today.
Like today, it's actually a pretty good
it's
curly
great.
Hair day, but a bad curly hair day is worse than you can imagine.
I'm imagining Blossom.
No, it's more like... Blossom would be like a mediocre curly hair day.
Is it like a six hair
it's
day?
It's more like... It's more. No, six had beautiful,
well, she always
beautiful
covered
silky
it with
hair.
That.
Yeah, I wanted to be six. People always told me I was a Blossom, but I wanted to be a six.
No one wants to be a Blossom.
Well, somebody told me recently that I could be the next Mayim Bialik, and I almost cried, but... So anyway, this manager approached me after one of Kurt's shows and was like, you could be my MBLic if you wanted. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Anyway, so I don't want to look like I got... It looks like I got electrocuted when it's a bad hair day.
Looks great tonight.
Thank you. You silly Billy.
I am silly Billy.
I'm blushing.
Sarah walked around and got some questions. And am I supposed to pull these out and
Yeah,
ask you?
You have to pull them out. Can I also just say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bold move of the night. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I think David asked somebody out during his set.
Yeah, he did.
David, did you ask someone out during your set?
Yeah.
The woman at the table, I think you got asked out during David's set. Yes, I think so. I don't know. Yes!
Ah! USA! 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 All right.
David! David, buy her a drink. She just touched you. Come on.
We have to do this segment.
That's it. I gave advice.
Oh, you're done. All right, you can be found at...
SarahArmour.com.
No. Well, let's just do a few
of
these.
Let's see. Okay, I don't even know.
There's a lot of questions. I haven't seen these.
I haven't seen them either.
How did you get these questions?
I was like, hey, can somebody write some questions down that I may want to know from me? You want to know answer from me?
Cool. What do I do when I run into someone in person whom I've unfriended on Facebook?
Oh.
That's a good question.
That's a really good question,
yeah.
And they know. Do they know?
No.
Well, let's see. Let me look at the handwriting. What do I do?
Don't guess who it is.
No, I'm going to try to see if it's shaky. Like, if it's nervous, I feel like
no,
maybe.
No, it's not nervous.
Okay. What do I do when I run into someone in person who I unfriended on Facebook?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I think that what you do is you... I don't know. I think maybe you just pointed out. You said, I haven't seen what's going on with you. Are we not friends on Facebook? And you pretend like maybe they did it or like you didn't know.
So pass the blame.
Like, oh, I feel like we haven't caught up at all. Like, oh, we must not be friends on Facebook. And then it's like, ah. And no one's going to step out. He's going to be like, it's really passive aggressive because he's not going to then find you and be like, okay, I know you unfriended me. I'm going to refriend you, you know? He's going to be like, got it.
Dear Sarah.
Oh, it's a dear Sarah.
I want a cat, but my roommate is allergic. How do I murder him?
Get the cat and let him just cough it out.
Just get the
die.
Cat. The person will just die.
Just get
yeah.
the cat and your roommate's going to die. That's He's good. Allergic. It's the fucking arsenic. It doesn't matter.
Why is abbreviated such a long word?
That's a great question.
Isn't it?
Why is abbreviated such a long word? Latin. I think it's because of Latin.
It's a good answer. I'm just fucking running through this shit.
It's Latin.
Sarah.
Yep.
How big is David Carter's penis, and would you sleep with him if you were single? Also, what's your favorite Little Debbie snack, and why?
Okay, this is a three-part question.
No, it is. Okay. A, would you sleep with David Carter if you were single?
Here's the thing. David is very attractive.
Isn't he?
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah.
But, David, and I mean this in the nicest way, I feel like if we were to do it, he'd be doing bits the whole time.
Ah.
I feel like he'd be doing bits. And I'm...
Is that what you call intercourse?
I feel like I don't even know how to do... No, not intercourse. I don't mind intercourse. But I mind if he was like two boobs. What a boob. I don't know. I don't do wordplay, but like, that's my version of wordplay. I feel very insecure in those situations because I don't riff like that, you know? I'm kind of like... I'm a sharer. I'm not like, this is Uncle Fester face. Ah. Okay, but so, that was a photo. Okay, but that's what I think. I don't think I would
So
sleep
the
with
answer's
him.
No.
The answer's no. How big is his penis? I don't know, David. How big is your penis?
Five and a half. It's 5.5. He's a white guy. He's a white blonde guy.
It hangs to his knees. We're trying to set him up. He has a cock the size of a baby arm.
No, that's crazy. No, it's not seven.
Brandon.
It's not eight. It's not nine. It's 5.5, but he's willing to give... Shut the fuck up, Sarah. This is my question now. Here's how big his dick is. It's 5.5 inches, but he's nice and he's a comic. He's insecure, so he'll go down on you a lot. The end. Moving on. Your favorite... You'll still come. It'll just be a different kind of coming. It's a cleaner cum. It's a cleaner fucking cum.
I think it's more reliable, too, honestly.
It is a more reliable cum. And it's good because he shaves every day, so there's no weird facial hair and stubble shit. He's a blonde-haired boy. He's five and a half.
I like that answer, Brandon.
It's the truth.
Okay, also, what's your favorite Little Debbie snack? Which one are the Little Debbies?
All of them. It's like every...
Because I like the ones with the... that look like baseballs.
Snowballs?
No, with the
cupcakes.
With the curly line.
There you go.
Like those.
Why?
Well, they get caught in my braces, so I have some for later. And it's pretty much where I'm at right now in my life, listeners.
This is going to be the last question.
I
like that one.
Okay. Give me a doozy, Branny Boo. Nervous.
Nah.
Are these all bad questions?
No, they're good. It's just we're out of time.
All right.
This is boring.
All right, if it's boring, I don't want to answer it.
Okay, this is good.
Oh.
What is the best pickup line someone has ever tried to use on you? Also, what is the most pathetic? Are you doing a racist Asian imitation like David Carter did earlier?
Well, I'm glad.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No, I only have one racist Asian impression. I'm not going to do it.
Do it. USA. USA. USA.
Okay.
USA.
Okay. Delivery.
USA. No, that was horrible. Say you're sorry.
No, I'm not sorry. I'm not
you
sorry.
You should be sorry.
I'm not sorry. I'm an artist and I'm not sorry. Delivery.
Pickup lines.
Okay. The worst pickup line. So I have a joke that I tell where I say, that when guys see me, they say, don't suck my dick. Oftentimes, after shows, guys will come over to me and they'll be like, just so you know, you could suck my dick. And I'm like, no, I know. I know that. Thank you for making sure that I know that that's an option.
So if anything, they're just really polite.
They're just like, just so you know, I'd let you say, you know, as if they're doing me a favor.
Is that the best or worst pickup line?
I don't know. I guess it's sort of the worst because I feel like I'm not going to be like, oh, I can? Oh, let's go home right now.
No, let's do it here.
Right, like I wouldn't. That
show me your dick.
Well, I guess I could respond that way, but.
Show me your dick.
Right now?
Whip it out. No, this is not some improv bullshit.
I was letting
We're
it
not
out.
Yes-anding.
I was yes-anding.
You literally have to show me your dick now.
What, my little baby gherkin clitoris? I don't know what you're asking me. Goodbye.
That was a good handshake. Sarah Armour can be found at
SarahArmour.com.
And you are on the Twitters.
At Sarah Armour. Is that it?
Got any plugs?
Oh, you can see me at the what's it called? The DC Improv in February. Oh, and Funny Moms on Wednesday.
No, Sarah.
Oh, and the show on Wednesday on the 19th.
Saturday the 19th at the DC Improv.
Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. On Saturday the 19th will be at the DC Improv. It's going to be a fabulous show. Brandon's the host. I'll be doing a set. A bunch of my funny friends are doing a set, and it's going to be a night not to miss. So get your tickets early because it's going to sell out.
And the BYT
inauguration party. That's going to be great. It's going to be an all-day show, so you can check your coat. You can go do stuff and drink. You can come back and see comedy. It's going to be very funny. All my friends are going to be there. Going to get a ticket, and you're going to go
more
fast.
More plugs.
Let's go. Also,
start plugging open mics. Let's go.
There's going to be an open mic. I don't even know any open mics.
USA.
I'm glad. I'm done. This is over.
Sarah Armour. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out. Please put your hands together for one final act. Black Hills, everybody.
Make it real when you're not so dangerous. You are the only one I can't forget. I tried to reason, but there's nothing there. There's nothing there. We'll be right back.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. My name's Aaron. I play music under the name Black Hills. I'm going to do one more song. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks for the house band over here. Thanks for everyone coming out and sticking around. Thank you. Thanks a lot.